to Psalm 27, Psalm 27, 1, and then when you find your place there, let's go once again to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Acts 9:31. As we pray for revival. And let's go through this three times together tonight. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Acts 9:31. So that's what we're praying for. We're praying for that rest. We're praying to be edified, to be built up. We're praying to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and would be multiplied. Amen. And Brother Beery, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. So let's go back to Psalm 27. So as I was reading through my Bible recently, I was in a chapter where it said a few times, "The Lord is." And it just got me to thinking on that subject. And so we looked at one on Sunday, and that one is, "The Lord is the true God." Tonight we look at number two, "The Lord is my light and salvation." So Psalm 27, 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And as you read that verse, you'll probably recognize those are also the words to a hymn that has been penned based upon this. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. This world is so full of darkness, isn't it? It is just so full of darkness and deceit. If you hold your place here, turn me please to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. And the Bible told us that these days would come, these days of darkness, these days of deceit. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and worse, deceiving and what? Being deceived." So they're out to deceive, and they themselves are deceived. It's a dark and deceitful world right now. You know, with the internet, there is so much information out there. But at first, it seemed like the internet was kind of a place where you could actually get the truth out. You know, you had the, like, the major media outlets, and, you know, like Brother Wall said some years ago, whatever the major medias are saying about Haiti, the opposite will really be true. And it's just, it's that way so much of the time, because the prince of the power of the air is Satan. And he just seems to have control of those airwaves, whether it's radio, whether it's television, and of course, cell phones, internet goes over the airwaves as well. It's not always just through fiber optic or coaxial cable. They have towers too that send the message on. But at first it seems like the internet was a place where the truth could get out despite the major medias. But now it's like these who are so powerful on the internet, who have these social media platforms, have their own agenda now. And it's like they shut down people so quickly who have any thoughts or ideas that are contrary to the agenda they want to put across. So with technology expanding exponentially, now it's like, you know, you can type an email, and the next day you might have the FBI knocking on your door because you may have done a search for this or that. So technology is such that it just searches the mass of information going back and forth for keywords or key phrases, and it seems like a jungle to us, but with these programs they have, the technology, they're finding a way to follow what people are saying out there. So it tells us here that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what happens is some of these social media platforms became so popular, and then they start putting out their own news, and several of them do. So it's like they want you in their world, on their platform, and they want you to stay there for all your communication with other people. They want you to stay there for all your input of news, how you're gathering your news. So it's a very controlling atmosphere out there right now. But you know what? We don't have to be deceived, and we don't have to spread on deceit. As we read on there, 2 Timothy 3:14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Well, what have we learned? Well, read on. "And that from a child thou hast known" what? "The Holy Scriptures." So that's what he's talking about in verse 14. "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." He's talking about the Scriptures, verse 15. "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee" what? "Wise unto salvation." There's so many people that do not believe you can know for sure you're saved. Why do they come to that conclusion? Well, because they're not in the Bible. And if they're in the Bible, they don't believe the Bible. But they're not basing it upon the truth of the Bible. "Make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in" who? "Christ Jesus." Verse 16, all what? Scripture. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work." So it's the Scriptures we need. Whether we listen to the news in a day's time or not, here is the news we need every day. Here's the good news that can guide us and direct us. The media, whether you get your news off the internet or some other source, it's pretty discouraging most of the time. So we need to be in the Word of God. So as we think about this topic tonight, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." You know, it seems so good to be saved and to have light. Have you ever been somewhere and your light went out? I can recall we had a car once that the alternator was going bad, and the headlights got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, but the motor was still running. But it finally came to the point where I didn't even have enough power left in the battery to run the engine, the amount of electricity that it needed. And then the engine finally coughed and stopped. I was up in an attic not too long ago, and my light blinked. I had a headlamp on and it blinked. And I thought, you know what? If that light goes out, I've got to try to feel my way on the ceiling joists on the rafters getting out of here. Because if I don't, I'm going right down through the drywall or plaster. And I thought, this is not a good situation to have the light go out. Notice with me in Acts 26. It is so good to be saved and to have light. Acts 26:18. The Bible says to open their eyes and to turn them from what?
Darkness
to light, and from the power of who?
Satan
unto who? God. So it's to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. So Satan is the darkness, God is the light, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So to turn them from darkness to light. It's so good to be saved. It's so good to not have to walk in darkness under the control of Satan. Unsaved people have this idea, many of them, that no one is going to tell them what to do. God is not going to tell them what to do, and they don't think anyone's telling them what to do. But someone is, and that someone is Satan. Notice in 2 Timothy 2:25. So, we have some pipelines that are damaged. Who did it? Who did the COVID thing? Who really did bring down the World Trade Towers? Who did this? Who did that? And people are trying to figure out, okay, who is behind all this? The problem is they're looking for a man. Or they're looking for a group of people, whatever terminology they want to use for some evil group that's plotting against the world. Well, I can tell you, well, it's not me telling, God has told us who is behind all of this. In 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them what?
Repentance
to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of who?
The
devil, who are taken captive by him at what?
His will.
Here's the head person behind it, right here. Whoever is responsible for, the leak of COVID out of the Wuhan lab, was it intentional? Did it really come from the Wuhan lab? Or was it really someone else? There's all kinds of theories out there of how it started, why it started, and what our part of America had in that lab. It's just all kinds of information swirling out there. Well, the bottom line is verse 26. These people are in the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So what keeps people from coming to the light? Why do people love darkness? Well, notice in 2 Corinthians 4, number one, Satan tries to hinder people from coming to the light. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, So our question is, what keeps people from coming to the light, from coming to the Lord? And the first answer is Satan. Satan tries to keep people from coming to the light, from coming to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. In whom the who? The God of this world, that's little g, so it's referring to Satan, in whom the God of this world hath what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it's the God of this world, it's Satan who has blinded them. It's Satan who tries to keep people in the darkness because they don't believe, and he doesn't want them to believe. You know, when people's hearts are hard, then Satan can come along and snatch that seed out of their hearts. Notice in Luke 8. So we need to be praying for all the people Saturday that will hear the word of God, that will hear the hymns sung, that will read the scripture on the float. We need to pray that God would prepare their hearts now, that God would soften their hearts so that that seed that they hear, that scripture they hear, those hymns they hear, the scripture they read, we need to pray that that will take root. In Luke 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air, what?
Devoured it.
So I can remember my grandfather, he was sowing clover in a field. He was going to, I think maybe he put beans in it before, and he had wheat at times as well, but he was going to sow it into clover for hay. And so I remember just as a little boy, my grandfather had a burlap bag on his midsection with a band around his shoulders. And coming out from the end, there was a flexible part, and then there was a metal part, like so long. And it was big, and then it got smaller. It's kind of like a funnel, that wand. And so I remember watching him walk that whole field sowing clover. And so he has this bag full of seed, and as he's walking, he keeps casting the seed with his wand, spreading the clover. I guess they do it a little different nowadays, but that's the way he did it. And you get that picture then. So as he's sowing the seed, when he gets near the edge of the field where the tractor drives, some of the seed's going to land there, but it's hard and it's packed. And so the seed is not going to get into the dirt. And so that's the picture here. So the fowls come and devoured that seed which lands by the wayside. If you look down to verse 11, the Lord interprets what that means. Verse 11 says, now the parable is this, the seed is what?
The word of God.
The word of God. So he gave that parable. The seed pictures the word of God that's being spread. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh who? The devil. And taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, how does the devil do that? You know, is the devil, you know, a heart surgeon? Can he get in there and snatch, you know, literally seed? How is this done? Well, we have talked to so many people, and you can see the devil tries to do this very thing. You may be giving the scripture to someone, and then their phone rings. Who made that call? Who prompted someone to call at that moment? Yeah, it may have been the devil. Because as soon as they hear that phone call, it's gone. Whatever you said to them, it's gone. They're thinking about something else. We've been at many doors, and we're trying to talk to someone, and someone else pulls in the yard. they're gone. Their thoughts are gone. They're on a different track now. So many times you try to talk to someone and the dogs are barking. How much of that seed is getting into their hearts? They're trying to hold the dogs back. This is like every Saturday occurrence, it seems like. They're trying to hold the dogs back. The dogs are barking and we're trying to talk to them. And how much of that are they really getting? So Satan has all different kinds of ways to snatch the seed out of people's hearts. So we need to pray that Saturday God would prepare hearts, that they would be soft to hear the word of God. So who is it that keeps people from coming to the light and getting saved? Satan tries to hinder people from coming to the light. Number two, people's unwillingness to repent hinders them from coming to the light. People's unwillingness to repent hinders them from coming to the light. We already read 2 Timothy 2:25, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. So Jesus is talking to a religious leader. He's religious. He's a religious teacher. He's a religious leader, but he's lost. He's not saved. And so how do you reach a man like that? Well, Jesus tells him he must be born again, and then he explains it. But why don't people accept the light when they hear it, readily accept it? Well, Jesus answers that question in John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what?
Eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
Well, who wouldn't take it? It's a free gift. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Who would turn him away? Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew 7, the majority turn him away. It's the few that accept him. Why do they reject him? Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned what?
Already.
Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay, now he answers the question, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that what?
Light.
We're talking about light. The Lord is our light. That light is come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light. Why? Because what?
Their deeds
were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, what?
Hateth
the light. Neither cometh to the light. Lest his what? His deeds should be what?
Reproved.
That's why they don't come to the light. They don't want to repent. They don't want to be told, this is wrong. We went up to a door last Saturday, and I don't know if it was a barrel or what it was. There was something in the garage that was full of beer cans. And the man wasn't home, just his wife was home, so we didn't get the chance to talk to him. It was hard, actually, to talk to her because she had those dogs, what I was just talking about, these dogs barking that she's trying to hold back and, you know, keep from coming out the door and eating us alive. But all these beer cans, when you talk to a person like that, what do they not want to hear? They don't want to hear wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. They don't want to hear that. Why? They don't want to come to the light, verse 20, lest their deeds should be reproved. verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to what? The light, that his deeds may be made what? Manifest, that they are wrought in God. So it's like that humility we were talking about recently. There's no way to receive God's grace unless we are humble. There's no way to receive his grace unless we are humble. And so Jesus is telling a wonderful offer in verse 16. But why do so many reject it? Verse 19, because they love darkness rather than light. Jesus covered the same thing in Matthew 4. Let's look in Matthew chapter 4. And so we have these plans of salvation that, you know, are nothing like Jesus dealing with sinners. Like this man, Nicodemus, was a religious leader, and yet Jesus is laying it right out. Men don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. Their deeds. In Matthew 4, verse 12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelled in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan. And then what? Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in what? Darkness. Saw what? Great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, what? Light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say what?
Repent.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is covering the same thing. He said, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Jesus was referring to the prophecy, and if you hold your place here, turn with me to Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9. This was the prophecy to which Jesus was referring. Isaiah 9 and verse 1. Isaiah 9:1. It says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in where?
Galilee
of the nations. The people that walked in what?
Darkness
have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. So this is the passage right here to which the Lord was referring. What is this talking about? Well, you look in verse 6, Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon what?
The throne
of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, to whom is verse 6 referring? It's Jesus, the Messiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The question is why did the Jewish leaders not recognize this prophecy? Notice in John 7, hold your place here, but in John 7, John chapter 7, there's a conversation going on here in this chapter. Why did this statement, was it made and not corrected by someone. It started in verse 40, John 7:40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard the saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is who?
Christ.
The Christ. But some said, shall Christ come, what?
Out of Galilee.
Out of Galilee. So hold your place right there. Flip back to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9:6 is talking about whom?
Jesus,
the Messiah. Verse 1 of that chapter, Isaiah 9:1, mentions Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. So back in John 7, so they're talking about this. Shall Christ, John 7:41, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And if you drop down into, let's go to verse 47. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Because verse 46, the officers didn't bring Jesus back like they were supposed to. And they said in verse 46, never man spake like this man. So in verse 47, the Pharisees say to them, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not what?
The law
are accursed. So these Pharisees think they really know the law. They think they know the scriptures. But notice now in verse 50, Nicodemus. Remember back in chapter 3, he came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Because you see, Nicodemus did go talk to him personally. That's why he went at night, because he didn't want to be known to be there, but he at least went and talked to him. Verse 52, they answered and said unto him, art thou also of where?
Galilee.
Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth what?
No prophet.
And every man went unto his own house. Why did those men, some of whom would be doctors of the law, had studied the scriptures, the Old Testament, for years and years, why didn't one of them say, wait a minute, there's a passage which prophesies of the Messiah, and it does mention Galilee. And go back to Isaiah 9. Who would say that Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 does not refer to the Messiah? Of course it does. Verse 7 there, he'd be sitting on the throne of David. They would all say that refers to the Messiah. Then why? Why didn't one of them say, wait a minute, in this same passage, it does talk about Galilee, verse 1. It does talk about, in verse 2, that the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Why didn't one of them pick up on that? But none of them did. Not one. So they let this John 7 conversation just die out in verse 53, John 7:53. They all go to their own homes then. Why didn't they bring it up? Look in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5. Well, there's two things, as we've already seen. Satan blinds the minds of the lost. And then the other thing is that people don't want to repent. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw that the multitude was leaning toward making Jesus their king, what was their statement? If this happens, the Romans will come and take away our nation. That was their thing. They didn't want to repent. They had it made. And they didn't want anything upsetting that. But in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil," what?
Good.
"Good and good evil, that put darkness for what?
Light."
They were trying to make it out that Jesus was bad, and it goes on, "and light for darkness." They were trying to make it out that Jesus was darkness, not light, when in fact the opposite was the truth. Verse 21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." So as we go back to Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my what? Light and my what? Salvation. It's so good. It's so good to be following the light, where we don't have to live a life of darkness and deceit. So let's go to Ephesians 5. We'll close with this one, Ephesians 5:8. So we've come to the light. We've come to Christ for salvation. So now what? Ephesians 5:8. "For ye were sometimes," what?
Darkness.
"But now are ye," what?
Light
in the Lord. "Walk as," what?
Children of
light. That's what we need to do. It's so good to follow the light. You know, we're getting now where it's dark outside and the days are getting shorter. And I like the summertime when the sun comes up nice and early and stays up nice and late, I guess. Well, I don't think they're going to be changing the time anymore, so after this changes back. But we'll see how that affects all that. But we need to walk. We are children of light in the Lord, and we need to walk as children of light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to stumble. We thank you that we don't have to be deceived. And Lord, help us to be in your word. Help us to be in the news that we really do need every day. And that's news from you. That's direction, instruction, reproof, edification. We need those things from you, Lord. I pray, Lord, if there should be any here tonight that are not yet saved, Lord, help them to realize that Jesus is the Son of God, miraculously born of a virgin birth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. He was buried and arose in victory from the grave, proving that his pure and precious blood was enough to wash away our sin. Father, I pray you'd help us as Christians. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we do not have to walk in darkness anymore. We thank you that you are our light and our salvation. And please help us to show forth that, we pray, all of our days, no matter where we are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.